So I'm talking today to a husband and wife couple who have worked together on a project of a children's book called Benjamin Losford. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes. Yes.
Benjamin Losford and his Handy Dandy Clippers. And it's illustrated by Kenji. So tell me a little bit, and whoever wants to go first, a little bit about your background and how you came to be in graphic design, writing. Who wants to go first?
Well, Sean? I started, I was attending Western here as a student, and I got into graphic design. And from there, been in the career and the industry for about over 25 years. And during a project where I was working at a printer, Sonia came in for a project. And from there, I started working, trying to work on her project. It was actually a children's book at the time. And said, okay, she seems like a pretty nice young lady. And we end up getting married. And she had the writing skills and I had the graphic design skills. So people came to us to actually put those two things together, and it worked out well. So being in the industry of graphic design and she's coming out of the background of writing, it actually was a great fit for our career, and as we continue to go forth.
Yeah, very complimentary to each other. And Sonia, tell us about your background.
Okay, well, I grew up in Kalamazoo, attended Kalamazoo Valley Community College and Western here. When I came here, I majored in English with an emphasis in journalism. They didn't have a journalism major back then, but my passion has been writing since I was a little kid. I grew up reading the Ebony and Jet magazines at my grandmother's house and wanting to be the reporters who met all these amazing people in these magazines. So my passion was always to become a writer. After I graduated from Western, went on to work for Battle Creek Inquirer. And while I was there, I learned of the history of music from Battle Creek. A guy named Wade Flemons had died not too long after I started my job in Battle Creek. And people from Motown and VJ Records and all these record companies were coming to his funeral. And I asked one of the local guys, who is this Wade Flemons? I never heard of him. And they said, well, he made the song Here I Stand when he was a student in high school at Battle Creek Central. And we have a lot of famous musicians from Battle Creek. I said, I never knew that. And they said there's a club called the El Grotto Lounge where a lot of these musicians got their start. And Junior Walker's band was the house band. And I had heard of Junior Walker and the All-Stars, so it intrigued me to find out more. And so my husband and I partnered with Heritage Battle Creek. And we created the book, African-American, a musical history of African-Americans in Battle Creek. And that was in 2003. So that was our first book project. And it seems like after that, everybody thought we were experts and started coming to us to help them do their own book, you know, create their own book projects. And we've helped dozens of area authors become self-published in what we do. And it's just fun to be able to do our own project for a change and do this with the children's book, Benjamin Losford and its Handy Dandy Clippers. And it is a true story. And the funny part about it is our son here, who's in the studio, made up the title. We couldn't find a title that was catchy enough for kids, and he came right up with it. So it stuck, and we love it.
You have several family members, don't you, on your editorial staff?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The kids all work out here and they do what we need to do and, you know, help run envelopes or, you know, do printing or
that's
whatever.
That's the way to do it.
Keep them busy.
Yeah. And you're also associated. You're the editor of Community Voices.
Yes. Community Voices magazine.
That's been around for a long time.
It has. It was a biweekly newspaper founded by Arlene and James Washington. And then they approached Sean and I about 5 years or so ago and asked if we would take it over. And at that time, I had been working at the Gazette and had stayed at home to be a stay-at-home mom with my last daughter. And when I got ready to go back into the workforce, the jobs just weren't there. So it was a perfect time to say, okay, how do I reinvent myself? How do we bring a new life to this Community Voices? And we created a quarterly magazine. And we've actually coupled that Community Voice name with our children's book series that we're creating. So Benjamin Losford is the first in an imprint that we've created under our Season Press publishing called Community Voices, which would highlight true stories of people in our communities whose stories have never been told.
I wondered if this wasn't the first of a series, because it seems like it would be. There has got to be a lot of other stories similar to this one out there.
There's so many. And the way I found out about Benjamin Losford is when I was at the Kalamazoo Gazette, I wrote a story on the first African-Americans of Western Michigan University. And Merz Tate was among those people on the list that was provided to me. And she was a 1927 graduate of Western, graduated with the highest academic record in the school's history. But because she was African-American, she could not get a job teaching in Michigan. And she ended up going to Crispix Attucks High School in Indianapolis and started a travel club there. And so I learned more about her. Sharon Carlson from the archives at Western shared some of the scrapbooks that Merz had left when she died in 1996. And there were photographs from all over the world that this woman had taken. I never heard of Merz Tate. She was a first African-American to graduate from Oxford University in England. Mm-hmm. She was a Fulbright scholar in India. She spoke five languages. She was an inventor, a professor at Howard University. She was amazing. And I had never heard of her. But when I looked at her scrapbooks, the photographs of her with the children and her travel club really stuck with me. And so I ended up creating the Merz Tate Travel Club for girls. And in my presentations about Merz Tate, I have an exhibit based on her photos. Someone came up to me and said, people always come up to me and say, we have a story about someone in our town that no one's ever told us. So someone from Edmore, Michigan, came up to me, Shirley Wolf. They work with the museum there. And they said, we have this story of this guy from our community and no one's ever told a story. We'd like for you to be able to do that for us.
So the story found you rather than the other way around.
Exactly. And that happens all the time. Every time we go somewhere and talk, people are always telling us about amazing people from their communities that no one has ever told. And that's why our Community Voices imprint is going to be something interesting, because it will highlight a lot of people who were heroes and they never blew their own horn. And now it's time for us to do that for them.
Yeah. How are we doing? By we, I guess I mean American society, in terms of providing good quality children's books for minorities. Mm. How are we doing on that? Is there a gap that you're filling?
Well, I think that even with this book, how it actually came about, a lot of kids do a lot of history about Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, a lot of people that are traditional in the history standings. But this book actually is bringing out a story in regards to people that are right in our community, who have been in our community, that we can actually, not necessarily Benjamin, but we can touch the things that they actually built. So this is actually bringing that history a lot closer and giving kids something that they can actually look at now compared to look at from the past and aspire from. They can look at an individual such as Benjamin that came out of slavery, went back and took his kids out of slavery and brought them back up here and taught them a trade and taught them how to be successful in the community. And that's something that can still work and gravitate to individuals and youth
today. And maybe identify with it a little bit more, a little bit more approachable maybe.
Right. And, we hear about the Underground Railroad all the time in schools. And like I said, Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth. But there are people in our communities who have those connections to that history. What happened to people when they left slavery? Mm-hmm. And we have people in our communities who have those stories. Benjamin Losford's father, Abraham, actually was a slave master's barber in Kentucky. And he found out he was going to be sold further south to Alabama, and he escaped. He actually broke away from slave catchers twice in order to make it to Michigan and eventually to Canada. And he promised his kids, Benjamin and Sally, and his wife, that he would return for them one day. And with the Fugitive Slave Act happening, all these things, it made it so dangerous for him to ever even try to go back. And so after he had settled in a place called Howell, Michigan, Abraham was the first black resident of Howell, Michigan, and the barber there. After slavery, he went back and got his son, Benjamin, and his daughter, Sally, and the wife had died by that time. And so he brought Benjamin up and taught Benjamin the skill. And then Benjamin was working with his dad when a guy came in and said, there's this new settlement, or these loggers are, helping establish. It doesn't even have a name yet, but we need a barber. And you can meet our town president. His name is Ed Moore. And so he came to Ed Moore and saw these thousands of lumberjacks with just scruffy beards. And it was a gold mine to him. And so he literally said, this is where I'm going to be. And he stayed and he used the skill that his father brought from slavery to help him become established in that town as the first African-American resident. He taught his son, Norm, the skill. So his son became a third generation barber in Edmore, and they had the town's longest running business, 81 years. And their clippers are in the museum today, the original clippers that are in the story here. They're in the museum in Edmore today. So it's an amazing story. In the back of the book, it has real photos of Abraham and Norm and his son Norm and Benjamin and the timeline of their lives. So we're not just telling a story to kids. We're showing them how it connects to history. Yeah. And bringing the real town and the real people.
That was fascinating,
to life.
Looking at the real photos and the complete story in the back. Good for parents and teachers, too, I would imagine.
Definitely.
This could be used in school as well.
Definitely.
Tell me about the process when you're looking at a story like this. There was a comparison that went on in my head as I read the children's story and the real story. How do you decide what to leave out? How do you make it kid friendly, mm-hmm. you know, because there's some cruelty that, you know, slavery isn't a pretty story. How do you decide what age group can handle what?
Well, we started out, it was interesting how the story first came about when they approached Sonia in regards to talking or actually putting this together. Some of the facts were off, and we thought that Benjamin was actually headed up to how to actually find his dad. And he went up there, and so that was the route that we started to approach the story at. But as she started uncovering real facts through newspaper articles, it found out that this is how the story actually happened, that he was actually in Howe and got approached to come up to Edmore.
Yeah.
And so what has happened is that we're able to capture that history in such a way that's factual. But
keep it relevant to kids. I mean, our first original draft was about Abraham.
Right.
It was about Abraham and how he was helping cut, because his slave master would lend him out to other places to cut hair. And he overheard one of these guys saying that his master owed money and Abraham was going to be sold. And so he escaped twice from slave catchers, and he came all the way up to Canada. Our first story was on Abraham.
Right.
And then it was going to be called Abraham's Promise, because his promise was to always come back for his kids.
Yeah.
And so when we start working with Kenji, the artist, and we laid the story out, he said, why don't we start with Benjamin? Because, you know, Abraham's story is a little intense. You know, for kids, that's kind of, it may be more of a chapter book then.
What's the age group that you're aiming for?
This is fifth grade and under. It's fifth grade and under. So, and we had a lot of newspaper articles from Howell, Michigan newspapers, Edmore, and everything in the story is based on what was told, what was said. Nothing is made up. Everything that goes on in the story really happened. And so that's what makes it really exciting. But, you know, in addition, to be able to have kids look at the story. We wrote the story about 10, 15 times, and we had our kids read it and look it over, our nieces and nephews, over and over and over, and they would say, what does this word mean? Or what, you know, and they would break it, we would break it down so that kids finally could say, okay, now I get it, I understand it, and it's not too complicated. So we actually use children as our editors, you know, to get the story to
Perfect.
Where it could be understandable for kids. And to be able to add that real history in the end for adults and teachers allowed us to bring in more detail and specific things that, you know, may be too much for kids, you know, at that point.
You know, I had to look up Edmore. It's just a little village. Tell us what Edmore is like today compared to back then.
You know, Edmore is funny because looking at the pictures of Edmore, and they were like a huge logging community, a huge lumber industry. I mean, they had 43 lumber mills going at full speed at one point. They were like the mecca of lumber. And over the years, you know, with the lumber not being, you know, such a big commodity, and the town is just really like a small, it reminds me of Mayberry. It's like a small little town. And, you know, I don't hardly see people when I go there. Every now and then I'll see people walking around. But it's a real quaint, you know, little place. And the museum there is amazing because it has memorabilia from Benjamin and his family there, his wife's hats and, you know, the tea, you know, china that they had. Because when Norm died, he didn't have any kids. So they didn't have anybody to pass anything down to. So the museum got a lot of their items.
So no living relatives?
No.
That's a shame.
Yeah, because Benjamin's sister Sally died young when she came up to Michigan, so she never had any kids either.
And that's a great lead into actually that if that story had of passed without being uncovered, mm-hmm. that story to have been lost.
Yeah.
So as individuals are thinking about what their – maybe even what their grandparents have done, mm-hmm. some of that stuff is notable. And write it down. Get some sound yeah. bites from it and be able to connect that history to pass it on, because once those people pass, mm-hmm. he wasn't able to pass it on to anybody because they didn't have any kids. Mm-hmm. So that history is would be lost. So I'm glad that they were able to come to Sonia and we were able to bring this story back to life.
And the fun thing about Norm, Benjamin's son, is that Norm was able to keep the story of his grandfather Abraham and Benjamin alive. They would say that each year kids would come into the barbershop and do reports on local history, and they would always come to the shop and hear Norm talk about his father and grandfather and how his father came to Ed Moore and how they were 3,000 lumberjacks whose hair he cut till 3 a.m. the first night he was there, and he had to train all these barbers to help him because it was so much work for him to do. So, you know, Norm was able to keep those stories alive to the kids in the community who always use him as a resource to talk about history, because we have that Underground Railroad history, the civil rights history. We have all those in the people in our communities. And if we don't, like Sean said, if we don't tell their stories, then it gets lost.
Tell me about the illustrator, Kenji. Mm-hmm. He's got wonderfully mm-hmm. bright work that I think would be mm-hmm. very appealing to young readers. So how did you find him?
Well, we worked with Kenji in the past. He's a phenomenal artist. He was able to actually listen to his story and formulate the characters around what was being said, looking at some of the real artifacts and also some of the pictures of from the newspaper clippings. So he was able to capture even the essence of the words that when they were written to bring out that character and make him to actually come to life. And great to work with, very visionary, outstanding skill that he has. And I was glad that he was right in the community and we were able to get a true understanding how the book was supposed to be laid out, being in spreads compared to individual pictures. So he's a great individual to work with. He's done a number of projects throughout the community, and I think he's very connected to the library doing mm-hmm. Illustrations for kids there. So he's somebody right in the community that we can actually glean from and actually help bring this project to life.
Mm-hmm. And he was very busy. He's a very popular artist, so everybody wants him. So we were glad to be able to get him when we did, because we found out about the story in 2012. So it's taken a few years to kind of bring it to life. So
any thoughts on the next in the series?
Oh, yeah. We have several. There's so many. I mean, just now having this story out in front of us makes everything else so much easier to finally get out. I went to Cassopolis and spoke once for Black History Month. One of the stories I tell is about three Black doctors. Now, we always hear about the three Black doctors, the young guys who are in the news. They made the pact to, you know, become successful doctors. Well, there were three African-American doctors back in the 1930s and 40s who were from Chicago, and they bought land in Cassopolis. And one of those doctors was Dr. Lawless. He was an African-American dermatologist. And he died, never had kids, never married, and he left land there, and Lawless Park is named for him. And no one knew that Dr. Lawless was an African-American guy. And there was also Dr. Green and Dr. Gray. So they were all three doctors from Chicago who came up and just had a dream. They had money. They bought this land, and they created like a resort that was kind of like an Idlewild on that side of the state where African-Americans would come and, you know, hang out and have fun and that type of thing. So when I learned about their story, it was amazing. And like we talk about these three doctors that have the pact, but there were doctors, you know, back, you know, before civil rights who were doing amazing things. They were very prominent in their communities and very prosperous, and they gave back to their communities. You know, so that's one. Another one we want to pursue is, I did a play a few years ago based on the Velvalettes, who actually started here at Western Michigan University in a talent show. And Berry Gordy's nephew was in the fraternity that was judging the talent show, and he inspired Cal Street, Bertha Barbie McNeil, and then their sisters and cousins to try out for Motown. And they became one of the top, I think, the first three Motown singing groups. But Cal also helped integrate Laura Norris High School. And she grew up in a church where her dad was a minister. So she grew up singing as a child. And her whole story of just the civil rights era and that church and that gospel and how it went, you know, from hometown to Motown in the world is so amazing. So we're trying to get her story told as well. So
oh,
we have so many so many stories. I mean, there's some things we've learned even about Kalamazoo, right, who have some African Americans here who I had never heard of, even in school, never heard of, and they're phenomenal. I'm not going to let the secrets out yet, but there are some phenomenal people.
You know, that you're bringing out these names that are unknown. That's just so intriguing.
And then another book that is coming out soon is called Pure Michigan Women, and it features 30 Michigan women in different areas of sports, medicine, you know, entertainment, who inspire girls. So the stories are to inspire girls. And so that's coming out pretty soon.
We'll have to have you back.
Yeah.
Are you planning any kind of school programs, readings, book tours, anything like that?
Yeah, we've been doing a few since we started. I know Edmore has a big day planned for us on April 19th. It's a Tuesday. We're going to be at the library. The museum's holding something for us, and hope to get into the schools and do some stuff with the kids. So it's going to be pretty exciting to go back to the town where it all started, to see their reactions, right, of, you know, this real story based on their town.
Oh, yeah. We had a book signing with the library, mm-hmm, at the Powell Library. So there's a number of things that have been working its way out as this book has been uncovered.
And as a matter of fact, the Kalamazoo Public Library hosted our book launch back in February and had free haircuts for the kids. So they were getting their hair cut while we were reading the story, and they had soul food dinner for people. So it was amazing. So
we've been
having a lot of fun. We've been going to schools and reading the book to kids. And we were at Washington's Writers Academy here in Kalamazoo and read for their, you know, community read day. So gave a couple of kids some books, you know, then let them, you know, see a real author and hear the book. So we've been having some fun.
So where can people find this book and learn more about you and about the book series?
Right. Well, you can also go Amazon, and Barnes & Nobles have them online. Michigan News Agency here in Kalamazoo has them. You can always check out our Season Pub Facebook page, and that gives information on not only our books, but the other authors that we work with as well. So there's a lot of ways to find us.